we just thank you for that, and we just pour your heart over over the city. And Lord, we bless Deborah today. She's about to speak. We just thank you for this awesome, magnetic woman of God who just carries you so fully and radically, and who is so much fun. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
No, I got this. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne.
I like that word a lot better, magnetic woman of God. I got the funniest word. I was at a retreat last week, and it was a very small retreat. There was just a couple of it, five people. And so they were getting words, prophetic words from the ministers, like, you know, you're an eagle, and you have a prophetic eagle's call on your life, and you fly higher, and you see further than anybody else. And then somebody got like a ninja, you know, like you're this mighty undercover ninja in the kingdom of God. And so they get to me, and you know what my word was? You know, I feel like the Lord just says you're spiffy. And I'm like, spiffy. Just go ahead and get me a walker and an oxygen tank now. And the complete set of Golden Girls reruns. Box set, please. Spiffy. I'm so happy on Wednesday mornings when I get here and I see you guys. I run around. You know, my husband is super, super introverted and quiet and not real demonstrative. And so when I come here, it's like a puppy being turned loose. And I just run around. So thank you for letting me, like, hang on you and hug you and get lipstick on your earlobe. And I didn't get to this side of the room yet, but I'm coming for you. Well, I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy you're here. A woman marries a man who professes to be godly, only to discover years into the marriage that he has a prostitute habit. A professional woman extends friendship to a new coworker. She's supportive and generous and encouraging, and then learns that the confidences she shared are being repeated throughout the office. The new friend was a spy. A boy is abandoned by his birth mother and grows up without her his whole life. A woman who fought for her marriage for years and sacrificed her personal desires and persevered through pain for the sake of covenant is served with divorce papers by her husband. A young woman, weeks away from her wedding, finds out her fiancé is involved with a coworker. A mother who consistently prayed for her son's safety loses him in a car wreck. A young woman learns that the father she adored has taken his own life. A young man who has faithfully served his leader is accused by that leader of bad motives and has to actually run for his life. Another young man is the object of jealousy from his siblings, who conspire against him to destroy his future and his place in the family. And a man who spent 3 years ministering to the sick and the poor and the oppressed is turned over to his enemies by someone from his inner circle, and then murdered by the very people who had thrown him a parade a few days earlier. We're talking today about betrayal. And some of the snapshots I just shared are from my own life, some from friends, some from people I've prayed with, and some obviously are from the Bible. And some of you might be reeling this very moment from fresh betrayal. Some of you may be still processing pain from an old one. Today we're going to look to the Lord for a roadmap out of betrayal and into blessing. The thing about a roadmap that I want to say right up front is that in order to get anywhere, you can't just keep looking at the map. You've got to take some movement. You've got to take some steps. It requires a journey. And this is where healing prayer comes in. This is where healthy community comes in. God will give us a roadmap to blessing out of betrayal, but it is not a road to walk alone. What is the roadmap? I believe, based on my own experience and as a prayer minister, that God's roadmaps usually come in the form of new thoughts. His thoughts are the way out. So here we are thinking a certain way because of what has happened, because of betrayal. And we're in that, those emotions, right? Probably caught up in a cycle of negativity, and our thoughts are going in one direction. And then he injects a new thought. And suddenly, there's a new path. There is a way out of the cycle of pain. I pray for people here at Christ Healing Center every week, and I watch God give them roadmaps to healing and freedom. I listen to God speak his thoughts, his truth about their situations, about their pain, about their inner struggles, about their identities. He reveals the pattern of thought that has kept them stuck on the side of the road, if you will. The lies of the enemy that they've agreed with that keep them locked in a negative cycle. A loop of thinking, of thought that replays over and over, spinning their wheels, not getting anywhere. And here's the thing about prayer ministry and getting prayer. You can hear God on your own during worship, when you're journaling, when you're driving, whenever you're talking to him, you can hear God. But sometimes when you're in the midst of overwhelming, seemingly pain that has rocked you, especially a betrayal that has rocked you, it can be very hard to hear the right voice. Prayer ministers can come alongside you. A trusted friend can come alongside you and bring a stillness to help you hear. They don't necessarily hear for you. They create some space and an atmosphere in which we can hear. I like to think of myself sometimes as a tent pole. As a prayer minister, I'm just a tent pole holding up the tent of meeting so that the person can hear from the Lord. And you've heard it in here before that the enemy will pounce on any situation in our lives and try to use it to advance his agenda. A betrayal has great potential for the enemy because of the shock value. We're caught off guard and we are left raw. The aftermath of betrayal then is very ripe. This is when we make vows. I will never. I will always. It's never going to, those kinds of things that we say, fill in the blank. And this is when we make judgments about other people. This is when we curse and don't bless. The enemy is eager to exploit all of that. God's thoughts can be our roadmap out. The enemy likes to create cul-de-sacs and dead ends with his thoughts. The Lord likes to create superhighways with express lanes. Romans 12:2 says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Tell them the check's in the mail. Romans 12:2, one of the most important verses to me in my life, be transformed. Transformed. Changed into something altogether new by the renewing of your mind. John 8:31 says that knowing truth, knowing it, not hearing it, knowing truth will set us free. So what do I mean by God's thoughts? Let me give you a few examples. A man who had been abandoned by his birth mother grew up, and the Lord showed him a memory of how he spent so much of his childhood hunting horny toads in South Texas. And the Lord entered into that memory, that place of loneliness, where he had felt betrayed. And he was hunting horny toads with him. And we asked Jesus, "What do you think about horny toads?" And he said to the little boy, "They're cool." And then we asked the Lord, what's the name tag that the man, was wearing? What's the name tag on that little boy? What does it say? Unworthy is what he saw written on the name tag. Unworthy. And then we said to Jesus, "What is your thought about that?" And the Lord leaned over and tore off the unworthy. Became his new thought. Worthy became the roadmap out. A woman felt betrayed by God because her son was killed in an accident. He had been a truck driver, and she was always praying for his safety. And during a prayer session, she explained how she felt betrayed by Jesus. And so we asked Jesus about that. And let me tell you, he's not afraid of those conversations. Not in the least. She asked him if, as other people had told her, the timing for her young son to die, this young man, was God's plan. That's what people had told her. It was God's plan. And Jesus told her, no, it was not. That the circumstances broke his heart too. That's what he thought. And she was immediately set free and positioned to move into blessing with this new roadmap of God's thoughts, his truth. In my own case, growing up, a series of betrayal by relatives as a child led me to become very isolated and very lonely, not belonging. I had an overwhelming sense that I didn't belong because of these betrayals. And my overarching memory of my childhood is of me riding my bike alone, all by myself, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, always riding my bike around beautiful neighborhoods, and fantasizing that I lived there because life would be good here. I would belong in one of those beautiful houses on one of those beautiful streets. And at a recent prayer appointment, I asked Jesus to minister to that time and to those wounds. And I saw him immediately on a bike right by me, riding through the streets. And his thought was, "You were never alone. You have always belonged to me." And then he said, "Do you want to get out of here?" That was my new thought. I was taken by his thought out of where I was stuck in another time, place, and dimension. I called it Alone Land. And I was brought to now and fully integrated into my current age, maturity level, place, identity. A couple of years ago, I was feeling very betrayed by God because none of my dreams had been fulfilled. None of the things that I felt had been promised to me in prophetic words besides spiffy had been fulfilled yet. I wasn't realizing these things that were on my heart that I wanted to do, that I felt I was called to, that I felt I was created for and wired for, right? And I felt very betrayed by God. And my thoughts, the cycle of thought that I was stuck in and caught in, the loop that was playing over and over again, was that you're old, it's over, it's hopeless, and you're a failure. And I asked him what he thought about that. And I got one word: evergreen. You're evergreen. Bam! That was my roadmap out. That was my roadmap out. It was a thought from God that was a new thought. I knew it was true, and it set me free. God's thoughts will bring healing, freedom, and restoration. His truth is the roadmap out. But remember, we can't just look at the map. We have to take steps. And one step is to agree and partner with his thoughts, his perspective, to begin to replay what he has said to us, what he has shown us. We have to intentionally think his thoughts. Steve Backlund says, the past cannot block or prevent our transformation, but the beliefs we currently rehearse can. What are we rehearsing? What thought is being played over and over again? Because that can block or prevent the transformation and the freedom that we want, the beliefs we rehearse. We've talked a little bit in here about brain science and about how neural pathways are formed by repetitive thinking. And that's, you know, that's how you learn a language. It's just you hear something over and over again, and a neural pathway is formed. The roadmap to blessing after betrayal is filled with new pathways of thought. They have to be traveled. I was sitting on my back patio Monday morning. It was a beautiful, cool morning, blue sky, and I was thinking how quiet it was. And then I heard, not really. And I knew it was the Spirit of God. And so I paid attention, and I became very aware of the sound of birds. There were many different kinds of bird noises. There were sweet trills and calls, and there were short melodies, and there was cooing. And there were others that were very loud and harsh. I think they were probably jays. And they were squawking and making a ruckus. And there were so many different birds speaking, and the squawking was a real distraction because it was louder than all the others. And so I found myself tuning in, even actually like leaning in my chair to catch that sweet, pretty song, the soft, rhythmic cooing of the doves. And I thought, how many voices are in the world, and even internally, and how it takes intentionality to tune them out. Filter out the squawking, the harsh voices, especially in the aftermath of betrayal. The voices we listen to will influence our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, the enemy. They will all squawk. It will require a choice and some maturity on our part to lean in and listen for the other voice. A friend of mine did just that, and she's given me permission today to tell her story. My friend Debbie Boggs experienced the betrayal of a husband who filed for divorce. It had been a stressful, painful, abusive marriage, but she had hung in there for a long time. And I asked Debbie, now that it's been a couple of years, what she has learned about moving from betrayal to blessing. And I stress that it's been a couple of years. It's actually closer to 3 years, maybe moving on to 4 years. Because what happens sometimes, I know it happens for me, is when I am feeling overwhelmed by pain, when I'm feeling crushed, when punched in the gut, I want someone to pray for me and go bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and it's all better. And I'm fine, and the pain's gone, and I'm whole, and I'm healed, and I've advanced and promoted, and it doesn't happen that way. I've had moments of, wow, I felt like something left, something came off of my mind, and I see differently, and I see clearly, and there's freedom in that, but then I take that, and I begin to develop that, right? But this idea somewhere in Christian circles, in the Christian world, we think that if I get the right person to give me the right prophetic word with the right anointing and the right prayer at the right time, it's all going to end right then. And it won't. Here's what Debbie shared. She said, moving from betrayal to blessing begins with a whole new level of submitting to the Holy Spirit. deciding to be spirit-led, not led by the world or popular opinion, and not led by impulse. That's the squawking. The world, popular opinion, my impulses, emotions and feelings and thinking can conspire against the spirit. Emotions, as real as they feel, as powerful as they are, my thinking, I will never, can conspire against the Holy Spirit. Debbie says that the Lord gave her some scripture. It was a roadmap to her to navigate the betrayal. Now, personally, and I'm going to read to you out of Romans, but I would have liked one of those Old Testament passages about smiting the enemies, hanging them by their entrails, letting the birds of the air pick out their eyes and the dogs lick their blood from the streets. I would like for God to go Old Testament on some people, right? I like a good smiting. Let me read parts of Romans 12, 9 through 21, because Debbie said these were her marching orders out of betrayal into blessing. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ. Steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people. Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with another. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Couldn't we just this once? If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. When there's been injustice, when lies have been told about us, when blame has been attributed to us by the very one who did us wrong, everything in us wants to lash out, Debbie said. Everything in us will squawk. Debbie said she consistently brought it all to the Lord. Day after day, she would say, I need you to show me what to do. I want to attack and self-justify and self-defend. And the Lord would respond, let me be your justifier, your vindicator, your defender. Do you trust me? And Debbie says, we will learn more about his nature as defender and vindicator when that area in us is challenged. That is one of the blessings he has for us after betrayal, to know by intimate experience, firsthand knowledge, that he is my defender. Debbie says the great thing that she realized was that he agreed that there was an injustice. He agreed with her. She said, where we disagree is how to correct the injustice, how to respond, how to make this right. God says, my way of justice positions you for blessing. Your way positions you to be further crapped upon. It has, that's as well as I could clean that up. It has been a journey, but Debbie has followed the roadmap. She has agreed with his thoughts. She has prayed for many people. And she has received much prayer for inner healing. And she is seeing the blessings now. She says she has rediscovered her destiny, something that got lost in a very hard and troubled marriage. Debbie leads prayer teams here at Christ Healing Center. She has blossomed into a powerful prophetic intercessor with a heart for the United States and Israel. She has become part of this high-level group of prayer warriors that travel up to D.C. and hold meetings. And every time she goes, she gets an upgrade or a promotion in who she meets with and who she has access to. She has the healthiest, deepest connection she has ever had with her adult kids. And I believe this is just the vanguard for her. You know, the vanguard is that small group at the front of a parade letting you know that the real parade is coming. The parade of blessings is just getting started, Debbie. I mentioned at the beginning a woman who was betrayed by a coworker in her office. Well, that was me. And I didn't handle it well. That's how a lot of my stories seem to turn out when I share with you guys. And so this happened, and I didn't handle that well. I blew it, and everything went south after that. That's kind of how all my stories turn out. All my stories before I began to learn about the thoughts of Jesus being my roadmap out. A young woman I know was engaged to be married, and she was betrayed by her fiancé. A few weeks before the wedding, they were arguing, and he just abruptly called it all off and didn't even tell the truth about why, that he was involved with a coworker. And the wedding was canceled, and deposits were lost, and it was a mess. I have never seen anyone so devastated. She would literally crumble to the floor and wail in grief. It was intense and it was dramatic and it felt really out of control. And it went on for months and it shook the whole family. Her parents felt betrayed because they had loved this young man too. And there was a great deal of shame for them because they spent a lot of energy on their public image, and this was a big embarrassment. They were all in shock, and the young woman was not really recovering. She seemed to be increasingly overwhelmed, and her emotional neediness and all of the drama really started to wear on the family and create strains in their relationships. And there were cracks beginning to appear in the veneer of their outward image. Things were coming to the surface, things that no one talked about. And I was praying for her mom one day, and the Lord brought to my mind a story from Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were in prison, and an earthquake occurred. Let me read it to you. Suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Not just Paul and Silas, everyone's chains in that prison house. And I knew the Holy Spirit was saying that this thing that has happened has been an earthquake, this betrayal. It is shaking the foundation of the prison you are all living in. Everyone's chains are coming off. Your daughter is going to get free. So are all the rest of you. This betrayal is going to lead to blessing. And it has. Alcohol abuse has been confronted in their home, and people are free. Perfectionism is being confronted, and people are getting free. Shame and hiding are being done away with. Betrayal, blessing. I asked my mom to pray for me as I was preparing this message, and she got one word from the Lord: forecasting. And I was like, I know she hears from God, and so I looked up forecasting. Predict or estimate a future event or trend. I asked the Lord, so what's your forecast? And immediately I got, it will work out for your good. That's his forecast. Right there in Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purposes. Guess what? You're called according to his plan and purposes. God's forecast for you, you win. We win. I listened to Graham Cook teach on this last week, and I'm going to quote some of it for our purposes today. His launch pad is 1 John 5:20. It's one of several places in the New Testament that says we are in Jesus. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Graham says, if we are in Christ, then so is our situation. The scriptures say that in him we live and move and have our being. So we can't have a life in Christ and have an issue as a separate thing. That betrayal is in Christ. Every issue in our life is in Christ because we are in him. It means there is an outcome that God wants to generate. There is a forecast. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, God always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57, he always gives us the victory in Christ. Victory has already been assigned to your situation. This situation, this betrayal, can draw us into a place with God where we win something. What if we shift our mindset to that? The outcome he sees over us, his perspective, his thoughts about it. What if we say, there is a victory for me in this situation and I'm going to find it? What if victory is our starting point? We tend to think that if the situation will change, I'll have victory. What about victory before the change? What about victory if the situation never changes? And bear in mind, this is from a man who has struggled with a debilitating illness for years, who's talking about, my starting place is victory. What if the situation never changes? I prayed with a woman who discovered her husband had regularly sought out prostitutes, and she was understandably hurt by the betrayal. And throughout our time together, she expressed a lot of anger, in part because he didn't seem repentant or sincerely committed to repairing the marriage. She said she didn't think she could heal until he changed. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to ask her, what if he never does? What's your life going to look like then? And it was a blunt question. It was kind of unusual for a prayer appointment. And it got her attention. It interrupted that cycle of thought. It made room for another thought. A God thought. A roadmap toward blessing. See, I settle for the thought, I'll feel happy and then I'll be happy. When I feel happy, I'll be happy. When I feel it, then I'll be it. But happiness can be determined by all kinds of things. If happiness is based on hormones, the last time I was happy was 2007. Our prayer house director, Sonia Roper, hears a lot of stories of betrayal. She says the first place on that roadmap that we have to go is forgiveness. Oh, not that. And she says in that wise, Yoda, Sonia Roper way, what's the other option? Sonia says forgiveness is the springboard to blessing, the springboard to blessing after betrayal. Without it, the blessing will always be out of reach. Let me stop real quickly and explain something most of you have already heard from Ashley and Casey, and it's a little bit of an understanding from Rosalind, a little bit of an understanding about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying something was okay, it wasn't a big deal, just get over it, forget about it, don't think about it, move on, they didn't mean it, blah, blah, blah. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a transaction with Jesus Christ in which he pays a debt that is legitimately owed to you. He pays it with his blood, and we get to choose to settle the account. Because they can't pay. The one who owes me, they can't pay. They may not even want to pay. They may not even know they have a debt. Forgiveness, when we do this transaction with Jesus, he'll confirm the debts that are owed to us. And he'll say, I've actually already put the funds aside for that. My blood. Will you let me pay it? Forgiveness isn't a feeling, Ashley often says. Forgiveness is a transaction and a decision. So I asked Sonia what kind of blessings she sees coming out of betrayal. And she says she sees people get free of unhealthy codependent relationships. They're in tremendous pain initially in the wake of betrayal. But through the roadmap, the thoughts of God, the truth of God, they get free from some bad situations. She sees people who were once isolated and belittled discover who they are and discover that other people want to know them, and discover that they have a future. Deborah wants a pain-free theology. Even though the New Testament refers to suffering, persecution, perseverance, and endurance, I'm kind of like, la, 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 when we get to that part. It's there. It's called life. There's a roadmap out. Victory has already been assigned to the situation. Paul, the great apostle, had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked the Lord 3 times to remove it. And scholars debate what the thorn in the flesh was. I vote for menopause, but he asked the Lord 3 times to remove it. And remember God's answer? My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my strength is made mature and perfect. If I'm feeling strong, I don't need God. When your emotions and feelings are squawking in the wake of betrayal, when your emotions are wanting to run the show, ask Jesus if he feels the same thing. Jesus, do you feel desperate and worthless? Oh yeah, I'm in you, and so is all of this. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of times I show up for prayer appointments, and I'll say to Sonia, I don't feel very anointed. And she'll be, it's okay, Jesus does. I don't feel it. I'm in him. Ask him how he feels, and then remember, you're in him. And I'll wrap up here. I think with some folks from the Bible who experienced betrayal. There was David with Saul, Joseph with his brothers, and then with just about everybody else. Debbie Boggs was saying that Joseph had to have intentionally kept his heart right. He had to have kept short accounts by forgiving debts and releasing judgments. And we don't read that in the scriptures, but we do see it mentioned that everywhere he went, even in slavery, even in betrayal, even in prison, the Lord was with him. Graham Cook says, never let a situation or a betrayal rob you of your identity. Never let a betrayal convince you that you don't have the favor of God. Our Ashley says of her father's suicide, which was a betrayal, my earthly father's story is not mine. That's a God thought. That's a roadmap out. Jesus was betrayed by his hometown. They tried to throw him off a cliff. He was betrayed by Judas, one of his inner circle. He was betrayed by the people who yelled, Hosanna one day and crucify him another day. I believe he might have felt betrayed when he cried out to God on the cross, why have you forsaken me? But he had a roadmap. a pathway out of betrayal and into blessing. His roadmap was the same as ours. It was the thoughts of God. Hebrews 12:2 says Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. He endured the betrayal and the suffering because he trusted that a blessing would come from it. He knew he would win. Victory was assigned to it. And we are in him. We'd love to pray with you this morning, the prayer team, anybody that would like prayer. If you've been in a situation that this is triggering all of that, or it's resonating with you, or any other situation, I'd also love for Anne to pray bless. It was you, right? You had said, yeah, you said you'd pray for people. Okay, so Anne's got the happy prayer today. And we would just love to pray over you. But let me just bless you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that we are in him, that your thoughts are in him and in us, and that we can lean in, we can hear that sweet voice, that truth, over all the squawking, over the sound of the alarm system that has gone off to protect us. I thank you that you want to move everyone here forward, that you already see the outcome, the blessing, the victory. And we can attach our hope to that and be tethered to you as we walk out of betrayal into the blessing, the joy that is set before us. Make this real. Stop the cycles of negative thought that partner with the enemy. Give us the new thought. Right now, Jesus, what is your thought about what happened? What are you thinking about it? About me? What is your truth that I can attach and hang on to and remain in you with? What is your thought about all of this for me? Thank you.
Super. Thanks, Deborah. Fiesta.